I'll just start again Monday. This is a special occasion, so it's okay to go off my diet. The holidays are always tough with so many events and parties and special treats, but as soon as January 1st comes, I'll be super strict. Well, I just need chocolate since it's Valentine's Day, and they have all the special chocolate in those center aisles there. Spring is coming, so I'm going to be perfect in preparation for the summer. The first day of spring is Monday. Ugh, it's been such a stressful month without any vacations, and we have MCAS coming, and if I restart on the first day of spring, I'll be good. Then I'll have an entire season to prep for summer. Well, of course I'm going to eat whatever we have on Easter, but Easter Monday, I'll be right on track. Well, I'm going to Uganda during April break, and I obviously can't upset anybody by not eating what they serve me, so of course I'm going to eat whatever they serve. Well, June is my birthday and the beginning of summer, so I really should buckle down. Yikes, July and August, I'll be away quite a bit, so I'll start over when school begins. Until the big E. I mean, it only comes once a year, right? And you can't just, I like the amen. And you just can't eat a salad at the big E. It's like $12. Ugh, why is the Halloween candy on sale? It's everywhere, and I just can't waste it. So I'll start over as soon as it's gone. I mean, I could bring it into my students, but they all have ADHD, and I'm sure that if they're sugared up, then it'll just mess with my job and their focus. Then the holiday season starts all over again, and the beat goes on. Sometimes I feel like I'm a professional dieter, I'll admit. I've tried all the things, hoping that maybe the next time will be different. I just don't have that willpower. Those people that just have this willpower, I don't understand. I'm 0 to 60. I'm 100% on or 100% off. That's how I am in life anyways. I'm high and low. I just don't have enough willpower. But why some people have that extreme willpower, I'll never know. I just don't have that same drive, I suppose. I'm disciplined in so many other areas. So why not this one too? I just can't do it. And you know what? I don't have to do it on my own. I don't have the willpower, but I do have the power of the Holy Spirit. Tonight, we continue our series on how to pray, which is based on how Jesus taught us to pray. We're going to recite the Lord's Prayer together, and it'll be on the screen. Okay, let's read it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, you probably have guessed, but the last line is what we're going to be focused on tonight. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So our central theme for tonight is you should pray for the strength to resist temptation. Why? Because you cannot beat sin on your own. Maybe food and dieting isn't your area of temptation, but we all have something. Maybe it's overspending, racking up credit card debt. Maybe it's substance abuse, lust, cheating, lying, stealing. Maybe you just have problems with authority in general. Arrogance, pride. Everybody has something except for Jesus. Well, actually, I don't want to say that. Jesus was tempted in every way, but he's the only one that did not yield to temptation. The very first man and woman, Adam and Eve, were tempted and they gave in. But since willpower is just not enough, we as Christians are so blessed since we have direct access to the Holy Spirit, who is the only one who can help us beat temptation. I'm thankful for passages such as 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says, "No temptation has overtaken you except that is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." God does not tempt us. Therefore, he's not trying to set a trap for us to see whether or not we can resist temptation. He wants to help us when we need it. All we need to do is pray and ask him for that help. And as Jesus modeled that for us in the Lord's Prayer, then we should do as he did, right, and pray to our Father to help us resist temptation and deliver us from evil. How many of you, by a raise of hand, have heard of Teen Challenge? I see Miko's hand went right up. We recently had a Teen Challenge women's facility come minister on a Wednesday night. And the men's program, they come on New Year's Eve normally. They've been, you know, we're a huge supporter of them at Bethany. And we love them. And if you've never heard of them, they're a global Christ-centered rehabilitation program. From drugs and alcohol to gambling. When I go to the youth center, a lot of times there's just self-harm and behavior issues, promiscuity, there's sexual addictions, you name it. When I attended Valley Forge Christian University in Pennsylvania, I got to go weekly to the women's home in Philadelphia. It's every center and home has its own like culture. It's really cool, but the message is the same. You know, Christ at the center, he's the one that enables us to live free from addictions. That's what, you know, their motto is. And so Miko's sister and brother-in-law, they run the largest adolescent girls center in the United States. And I love Teen Challenge. I love, love, love it so much. If you have ever been here when they've ministered, you'll just see there's such a humility. They are not arrogant. They are not prideful. They've just come from difficult circumstances. Life has beaten them down, but they also have this joy. But there's just such this humility that, like, wow, God saved me. He's the only one that can set me free of these addictions. A lot of them have been suffering and struggling with it since they were even preteens. And there's just such this humility and purity and reliance on God. And oh, I love when they come. But there was a study conducted by the Center for Compassion at Evangel University. This was back before the pandemic, so October of 2019. So I'm not sure if there's been a newer study done, but this is the latest one. So numbers could have changed a little bit. However, a recent study confirms that an astonishing 78% of graduates from Adult and Teen Challenge addiction recovery centers remain sober and substance-free post-graduation. 78%. Now, I don't know if you realize, but the number for the non-Christ-centered ones is an 11% success rate. And we all know the reason, right? You know, the findings, this is in the article, it says, the findings announced just today confirms anecdotal evidence that Teen Challenge graduates are uniquely successful at finding and maintaining freedom from addiction. I wonder what that uniquely successful thing is. We all know what that piece is, right? It's Christ, it's the Holy Spirit. 78% to 11%. And when I think of people that don't know Jesus and don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, it actually really makes me sad because I'm like, how can they possibly be happy? Like, I know I just wouldn't be happy without my Jesus, without the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, how can they fight these addictions? They're in and out of prison. A lot of them are reoffenders, where it went on to say in the Teen Challenge, in that article, that the reoffender, it's much lower, the percentage of that. But man, they have the power of the Holy Spirit that enables them and sets them free from that bondage and that slavery to sin. And I once, you know, you can't argue that data that we once heard, that I once heard about the 11% versus 78%. But man, the Holy Spirit is powerful. But we are so blessed that we have access to him, direct access to him. I listened to a sermon Sunday, and the sermon was about how, you know, we don't need a priest any longer, right? We don't need that high priest. We have a telephone. We have direct access to the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So the Apostle Paul was a giant in the faith, for sure. I love Paul. He wrote most of the New Testament. So wouldn't you think he'd be pretty perfect if he like got to write most of the New Testament? Nope. He had struggles. And he even mentioned a thorn in his flesh. Pastor Stephen, I know you and I talked about this before, like what some scholars might think, you know, was a thorn, but nobody really knows for sure. But he sure talked about it, right? And he struggled with it. And, you know, again, thorn in his flesh, something that he prayed three times for God to take away from him. And he didn't, because God said, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in your weakness. And so Paul didn't want to boast anymore. He boasted in his weakness because he knew that when he was weak, he was actually strong. He had a stronghold. So a stronghold, a major struggle, a weakness. And in 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul says this. He says, and I already kind of mentioned it, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses. I don't know about you, but I don't boast about my weaknesses, right? I feel ashamed and upset and about them. But he boasted them because he knew that the power of Christ would rest upon him. He realized he could not handle this weakness on his own, and that he would have to fully rely on the power of Christ that was made perfect in his weakness. We do too. We have to fully rely on God. Those Teen Challenge graduates, they had to fully rely on God. I mean, they study the word. They're in scripture. They're in prayer. They fast. They pray. They can't take any medication. They are just raw and real before God. But yet the power of Christ is made perfect in their weakness, and they have the victory over temptation. But we have to ask. We can't just assume that God's going to help us. He wants us to ask. This past week, I found myself praying over and over again, lead me not into temptation. It's funny, like, duh, Christina, you're teaching on the Lord's Prayer. Well, you better start praying this more yourself. And I love how God does that, but I'm starting to use the pieces of the Lord's Prayer. So instead of me saying, Lord, help me with this or that, I'm like, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. It's not a one and done thing for us in this Christian life, right? But thankfully, we have 24/7 access to the Holy Spirit's power. Okay. So why else should we pray for the strength to resist temptation? Well, our next point is, sin is not something to be taken lightly. Sometimes sin might seem like no big deal, especially at first, but it has the capacity to enslave you and place you in bondage. Currently, my students and I are reading the novel Night by Elie Wiesel. I don't know if you've heard of the novel, but it's about Ellie who survived Auschwitz concentration camp during the Holocaust. And so he lived to tell the horrors. And at times I can't even read it. Like if I'm on my own, you know, it's these horrors of how they enslaved these prisoners in this concentration camp. And not only that, we've also, in my class, been discussing African-American slavery, too, because we're just kind of thinking about slavery in general and what other people do to human beings to put them in slave. And between that and with my own issues of food and dieting, God really has been making all of this hit home to me. And I've just had this beautiful imagery. And the Jews and many non-Jews as well, they were slaves. And they were literally owned by their captors. They were treated as subhuman and treated as disposable. They were held captive in enclosed cattle cars on their way to destruction. I actually started tearing up, it might have been last week, as I was reading the novel to my class. And one of the boys asked me if I was okay, and I needed a minute, and I was like, this is just awful, you know, what another human being can do to another person, really to enslave them. They had no right to treat another human being as they did. They were stripped of their clothes, their dignity, their belongings, their hair, their family. They were branded. They were considered a number and no longer human. African Americans were literally put in chains. And so I started to think about sin, because the Bible talks about how it makes us a slave. And it holds us captive, and sin controls our lives. We are affected spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally. 2 Peter 2:19 states, "They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved." We're slaves to whatever controls us. Think about if there's something in your life that controls you. It's a habit, but it just holds you captive. We are slaves to that. It's a vicious cycle. And Paul, again, he talks about it, right? And in Romans 7, starting with verse 5, and then we're going to jump to 18 through 20, he says, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want." So he wants to live for Christ, right? He wants to glorify God. He says, "But I do the very thing I hate." And jumping to verse 18, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have a desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." So slavery, obviously, always we think of that as very negative, right? A negative connotation. It oppresses somebody. It binds them up. It encloses them. Slavery, never when I think of slavery do I think of anything good coming out of that. You know, Holocaust and African-American slavery was atrocious. But I want to push back a little bit, because it depends on who our master is, of whether or not slavery is a good thing. So if my master is Jesus Christ and I am enslaved to him, it is a good thing. And he actually sets us free. And that doesn't seem like that would go, right? But when we are enslaved to Christ, that is where we are most free. And it's the only way to live. When we are enslaved to Jesus, we can be completely set free from our sins. And I don't know about you, but when you are fully surrendered to Jesus, when you're truly living that way and feel like you're living in victory, there's a lightness about you, right? You just literally feel free, but yet you are fully and completely surrendered to God. He has control of you, but yet you're free. And I just love that. Romans 6:16 states, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness?" So if we are obeying God, obeying Christ Jesus, then we are slaves to him. If we are obeying our sin and falling into the temptation, then we are slaves to that sin. We are, in fact, slaves to whoever we allow, whoever and whatever we allow to master us. One of my best friends, he's actually been here to Bethany before, years and years ago, to minister. Damien Horn is his name. He's a professional musician. He wrote this beautiful song several years ago called Slave. And I just want to read a few of the lyrics to you. And then you guys can check it out on YouTube later if you want, Apple Music, wherever. But it says, "'Cause what I want to do, I don't do. And there lies the struggle I wrestle with every day. And I wind up doing the things I don't want to do. That's the trouble. And sin becomes my cage. But make me a slave to your righteousness. Lock me up in chains, chains of your holiness. Make me your slave. Only you can heal this brokenness. Take me away and make me your slave." I don't know about you, but I want to be a slave to Jesus. I never thought I would ever say I want to be a slave, right? But when you say to Jesus at the end, then you're completely free. So this leads us into our last point, which is there is hope and you can have the victory. Well, how do we go about becoming a slave to Jesus if we've been a slave to sin so long? Well, we must pray for God to lead us not into temptation and to deliver us from evil, right? That's what Jesus taught us, how he prayed to the Father. But I wrote this mini devotional a few years ago, not for any other reason than it just happened to be on my heart, and just put it on my notes on my phone and maybe shared it with a few people. And I realized as I was preparing this week that it doesn't have to just do with food. It doesn't have to just do with anything. It has to do with sin in general. And I just love this imagery. So I'm going to share it with you. It's a short devotional. I wrote this. It's called Trigger Foods Revisited. I'm finding that my weight loss has slowed down. And I think I've come to the conclusion that I've allowed some of the trigger foods that I once removed from my house back into my life. Slowly but surely, I've been compromising here and there. It's easy to do, especially, here's the same themes, with lots of travel, the Big E, being back to school, and stress eating again. So today, on this first day of fall, I'm gonna pack up all my trigger foods and get them, and I wrote in all caps, out of my house. How can I be successful with what I want if I'm being tempted with what's in my house? So being the English teacher that I am, I couldn't help but think of this as it relates to sin in general. It's a spiritual metaphor. Oftentimes we're convicted of sins and distractions in our lives, and we remove the, so here on out, guys, every time I say trigger foods, it means whatever that thing is that has a hold on you. So we remove the trigger foods in our lives. But slowly and surely, we buy the things that aren't that bad or are somewhat healthy. This is how the enemy works. Slowly, we allow things to creep back into our lives, and it gets worse and worse. Compromise is oh so subtle, but it snowballs. I just want to encourage you, as I encourage myself today, to clean out your house of every trigger food in your life. Get rid of, throw away, clean out every person or thing that is causing you to sin. Your soul is way more important than the unhealthy things that are causing you to sin. My encouragement to you today, what are your trigger foods? Let's get rid of them. The Bible goes as far to say that if our eye is causing us to sin, pluck it out. Or if our hand causes us to sin, cut it off. Our souls are more important, and sin keeps our souls in bondage. So even like later on tonight or even this week, I would encourage you to say, Lord, what are my trigger foods? What are the things in my life that I've let back into my house or I've let back into my life that aren't of you and that are helping me compromise rather than not leading me into temptation? I really would like you to spend some time, again, later tonight, or if it's too late, tomorrow, the next few days, and just ask the Lord, what are my trigger foods? What are these things that I just need to clean out of my house so that I can resist temptation? Can you guys do that for me? That's your homework. Miss O'Connor is giving you homework. I won't make you share out, though. Not only, though, that's very practical, right? Like, that's just a practical thing you can do. Potiphar, Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife. I don't know if you guys know that story, but real quick, he literally ran out of her house, right? Potiphar's wife's house, because he knew he didn't want anything to do with being in that house that would cause him to sin. So sometimes we do. We just got to leave. We got to clean out. We got to remove ourselves from situations, right? And that's just a very practical thing that we can do so that we're not setting ourselves up for falling into temptation. So these are no-brainer things we can do to keep us falling into temptation, but we can't just get rid of something, right? Clean our house out of trigger foods. What do we need? We need to replace it with something, right? Because then we're left empty. And maybe if it's lust we struggle with and we shut off the TV and don't ever watch TV again, but yet instead we're just going to talk on the phone all night. Well, that's filling us up. We're trying to fill that void, but that's only masking what we're missing from the other sin or the other temptation. We instead, and that's not going to last, right? That's not sustainable. So instead of that, we need to turn to Jesus, who is the only one that can truly satisfy. We were created to crave God, not anything else. And he's the only one. I've heard it said, you know, we have this God-shaped hole in our hearts and only he can satisfy. So it's what we need to do instead. We need to replace our desires for sin with a desire for God by having an intimate relationship with him. In the book Made to Crave by Lisa Turker, she says, we were made to crave, desire, want greatly one thing, God. She also says, but what if our ability to desire, to crave, is something that could actually draw us closer to God? Eve focused only on the object of her obsession. Eve craved what she focused on. We consume what we think about. And what we think about can consume us if we're not careful. Jesus defeated every temptation, every lie from the enemy by quoting the truth of God's word. Truth is powerful. And the more we are saturated with truth, the more powerful we'll be in resisting our temptations, whatever form they take. Your weakness with fill in the blank, does not disqualify you from winning this battle. In fact, it may be your best qualification. You'll have to rely on God completely, and that makes you a perfect candidate for God's grace. Again, I'm reminded of the Teen Challenge graduates. Their weakness with maybe alcohol doesn't disqualify them. They're no less than any other Christian, right? They are on the same playing field as anybody else. But it actually makes them a perfect candidate. Their addiction is maybe their best qualification because they're going to have to rely on God completely for deliverance. Galatians 5:16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The problem is not food, lust, stealing. The problem is that we run around trying to fill ourselves up with those things instead of with God. We were created to crave, to have a longing for and be fulfilled by God. When we pray for that and seek him and run to him each and every time we are facing temptation, we will be satisfied and we can beat temptation. I'm sure you've heard the verse, Philippians 4:13. A lot of times athletes have it on them or whatever, on their baseball glove or whatever, but it's even bigger than I can win sports, you know, through Christ who strengthens me, right? It's I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can. It's not I can't beat this temptation. I can't do it. No, I can do it, but I need Christ who gives me strength. In summary, you should pray for the strength to resist temptation because you and I, we're just not strong enough to beat it on our own. Also, sin is no joke. It's not something to play with. Don't get too close. Stay as far away from the line of compromise as possible. It's something that enslaves us and keeps us from living the abundant life God created us to. It can be damaging. But thankfully, there is hope, and you can be victorious. Shana, would you and the worship team come up as we begin the response time? There's a couple of things I would like for us to respond on. Possibly you have a sin or a temptation that you're struggling to be free from, and it just feels larger than life. You need victory and freedom. There's nothing hidden from the Lord anyways. He already knows what's going on, so you don't need to feel shameful about it. He knows your weaknesses. So asking him for help is not confessing something he doesn't know. He already knows, right? But instead, is what that is, it's relying on him. And it's good for us to confess. And it's good for us to tell God that we recognize we need his help. And that's the only way we can do it. Jesus knows what it is to be tempted. And he has all the tools we need to overcome. He's been through it himself, but he was victorious. I'm also going to ask you to come. If you just desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit and know him more and just to be full of him so that you won't have a need to run to the things of this earth to be filled, nothing that this world has to offer will satisfy the way Jesus Christ will. Only he can satisfy. So I'm asking you all to come on up. The altars are open. We have plenty of time. And just come seek the Lord for the victory. Amen.